You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Welcome to Bras, Bitches, and Balls. My name's Nick Rowley, and I'm General Second Banana. Today we have Shane Coppetz and April Boyle, who will be our guests, but here is Lee.
Hi, Lee Padgett coming at you again. And if you're watching the video, I'm like the only one moving to the music because I think I'm probably the only one besides Nick now that knows it. Thank you to the Vomit Spots for letting us use their music again. We will continue to ask them for other wonderful things from our youth, but that's Dude I Didn't Know, because a lot of the stuff that we're going to talk about, people are like, dude, I didn't know that. And I'm like, yeah, I know, really. There's some cool shit happening in Detroit. So I own a little store in Midtown called Busted Bra Shop. And there we actually fit women with boobs and get them into bras to help in many different ways. A lot of it's fashionable, but also you have to think about the fact that bras help women's backs, your posture. We get flesh off of our bellies. Bras are important. This is an important thing, so please pay attention. All right. This is Betty, our model, behind us. We are going to have a live Betty soon. And she is in an Alila bra.
Betty? Huh? We're actually going to have the live Betty?
Okay.
All right, cool.
Yeah, okay, let's do that.
All right, cool. So
this is an Alila bra set, and I actually brought the garter and the panties to go along with it because it's a beautiful, very fashionable set, lots of support. This one goes up into the 48 band, and I think I could actually get a 50 if I needed to. We have larger cups. It's beautifully embroidered, and then you've got the sheer up top. So it's sexy without being push up and wearing your boobs at your throat, right? That to me is not sexy, but good support. Wires coming are nice and strong. You want to have the gore right up against your chest wall or your sternum. The gore is this piece right in between the boobies where
I just learned something new.
Yeah, this is called the gore.
It's an educational show. You didn't know.
Always want to make sure, ladies who are out there, that your straps are tight enough that you can get two fingers in. More than that, the straps aren't doing their job. What is the job of the strap, do you know?
To hold your boobs up.
Part of it, this side boob, yeah. This side boob right here, it helps bring it forward, project that forward, and bring it up. And when that's too loose, you're going to get a little bit of sloppy gappage up in the front. So just because your bra is gapping up here does not mean it doesn't fit. You may just not have your straps on properly. How do you remember that? A shot of liquor is about two fingers.
So I'll never forget that now.
So this is a beautiful set. Come by the store if you want to see something like this. We'll have a bra of the week every week. Alila helps me with my larger bands, larger cups. They've been around for about 100 years, really, because it started with a grandmother under a different name, and it's kind of complicated, but just know this is good shit. All right. Thank you very much for coming down. Now we want to get into some different stuff that's happening around the state, really, not just in Detroit. So, Shane, I want to welcome you from the Flint Institute of Art.
Thank you so much
for coming down. And April, for coming down from here. How far did you come?
A block away.
Exactly.
That's what I thought.
A long, arduous 5-minute stroll.
It's hard.
So both of you ladies are into all kinds of crazy shit. I mean, I read your bios and it's like, squirrel. Oh, I think I'll go do that. That's fantastic. But it seems like you're really into the arts and helping women and helping minorities and getting things made and started, businesses and makers. So that's really cool. I know you have some interesting things coming up. Shane, I want to talk about your beer tasting.
Our beer tasting at the Flint Institute of Arts. It's on the property. It is this Saturday, September 23rd. Our VIP starts at 5 and you get early access, as well as some beers that will not be featured in the main event, which starts at 6. It goes until 9, in addition to over 100+ beers and ciders, some local, some regional, some national, then international. We also have live glass blowing, which is a preview of what's coming up at the FIA when we add a makerspace to our art school.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
So are they going to be making glass there?
Yeah. So one of the central tenets of the Flint Institute of Arts has always been, if you see it in the galleries, you should be able to make it in our art school. Mm-hmm. And in April 18, we will also, concurrent to the makerspace opening, we will be opening a contemporary craft wing.
That's
wow.
amazing.
Love that.
We would love to see all of you up there. I have some pull, and you can actually see the glass before the rest of humanity Ooh. Is. Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And how adorable is this? The glass collection that we have was owned by Sherwin and Shirley Glass.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, it's the glass square collection.
You know, she married it and she was like, I know what I'm going to do.
And the cool thing about the glass is they lived with their collection. So they had made their money. He had made his money. It was a second marriage for both of them. He had made his money in rural furniture stores through the deep south. So those literal one horse, one stoplight towns, Sherwin realized that people probably didn't want to go to the big city, had no desire to go to the big city in a post-World War II world. And then he also realized that people needed hardware stores. So all of his money came from these kind of one-stop shopping experiences, pre-one-stop shopping experiences.
Smart guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Called the entrepreneur.
Yeah. We love entrepreneurs.
Yes.
So when you're going to have these makers, this maker wing, right? So talk to me about that. Is that where you have artists in residence or you have classes? You have both? Is it an age-dependent thing?
Well,
what's
thank
up?
You so much for asking.
Oh, you're welcome.
So when we add the maker space, the FIA Art School will be the fifth largest museum art school in the country.
No way.
Wow.
I know.
Wow.
I know. Who knew in Flint? So we have just hired Brent Swanson, who also teaches at CCS down here in the city. He's from Dearborn.
Right near Busted Bra Shop.
Yay! How does that? It all is so
it
serendipitous.
All comes around.
Yeah. And he will be our glass master. We will be having classes starting in, we hope, March of 2018 to kind of break in the space because we will be doing live demos. But there will be not only a hot glass live demos and opportunities. We already have a welding studio, but we will be adding a metallurgy studio as well. So anytime on Saturday specifically, you will be able to, as a visitor, observe live glass making, live metal working, all of those things. It may switch on and off. We haven't opened the space, so we don't know what the level of interest, if people are going to be really fired up about, no pun intended, fired
up
about glass.
Was really well
I did not mean to say that.
That's
kind of
worked
out. Again, serendipity. But we will, all things being equal, we present all classes for people of all ages. So it might be an adult with a child. We probably won't take very, very small children into the potentially dangerous world.
You don't think the five-year-olds can be working the tongs on that molten glass or anything?
Yeah. But certainly we have teen and preteen classes, and we often have, especially for someone who shows incredible aptitude and interest, we often allow talented preteens and teens into adult classes.
Oh, nice.
Very
okay.
Cool. Very
so
cool.
Something for everyone. Awesome. April.
Yes.
Your story is pretty amazing. And can you imagine what I actually like hit on with you? Probably the My Dolls.
Mm.
Yeah. The My Dolls sounded that sounded good. Is that group still going?
No, it's not still going. But I just saw on my Facebook feed this morning a picture of Gene Simmons in my minivan from
nice.
The old My Dolls days because we were on a TV show, the Gene Simmons Family Jewels, and I was like, wow, what a crazy life. I mean, it is, and now what I'm doing now is almost completely different, but not. It's very creative and entrepreneurial. Try to say that.
Yeah.
Yeah. More than once.
You like to make businesses and help people make businesses. Sometimes we just have to take it straight down because you're dealing with me.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, you and I have walked in the same circles, but never really hooked up for over a decade, really. And because I had Cafe Detroit a long time ago, and I think I met your husband back then.
Brian from Issue Media Group and Model D. Please read your Model D media.
That would be he. And so it's really cool that we finally got to see each other and know each other. Now we have a connection through the Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Businesses.
Yep.
And I just graduated from that class, and now you're in the class, and I know you're super busy, so I appreciate you coming down for this. But so the My Dolls was an all moms band.
Yes.
Yeah. What years was, because I know you've got three kids.
Yeah. So I'm a mother of three. My oldest just went away to school. He's in Los Angeles at Loyola Marymount University. So I feel very proud about that I've kept him alive this long. Yeah. So that's really good. I have a junior in high school and then a middle schooler. And I stayed home, and if you can't see me right now, I'm making those air quote things. Because while raising my children was very important to me, but while I did that, I did a number of entrepreneurial projects, small business grassroots projects, including being in a mom band, starting a kids and family music program, putting out a couple CDs with that, running a yoga business, a pop-up restaurant, several different things.
Well, you had Build. When did Build start?
Yeah, so Build started in 2012 as part of DHive. Which
I remember DHive.
Yeah, a storefront downtown, just to be a kind of a welcome center and get people connected to all the cool things happening in Detroit. So
absolutely.
Encouraging people to live, work, engage, build a business in Detroit. Because as you know, Lee, it's an amazing place to build a business.
It really is.
It's an amazing place, and it'll suck you in. There's this groove that once you get into Detroit, you really don't want to leave and go anywhere else.
And there's so much amazing talent here, which I think, maybe isn't. Sometimes Detroit focuses on the big business and the billionaires. We won't go there. That's topic for another show.
It's really not for this one.
But we really love the grassroots neighborhood, community entrepreneur, the place-based entrepreneur, brick and mortar, lifestyle, creative, micro enterprise, social enterprise, mom and pops, family businesses.
There's a punk energy.
Yes. Absolutely.
Well, you meet owners in businesses, and they're working their asses off because they're trying to put food on the table and make their mortgages and get their kids to school and do all that. And, you know, most of the time it goes pretty well, but every once in a while it's kind of a shit show. It gets kind of funny. But Detroit has always been, once you've been there, you can see the art. It's outside. You know, you've got people like you and Matt and Amy and people who they say share your candy. It's like, all right, let's get out there and do that. I'll do that, Matt.
And you make such a great point. It's not easy.
No.
I have the saying small business sexy, right? We're trying to bring the sexy back to small business, but not in a way. But it's hard work. I mean, you have a little more flexibility possibly, but you're working way more than you would a 40-hour work week job.
Well,
but you're living your passion and you're building wealth for yourself
your
and your family.
Right.
It's your life. You have ownership of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what Build does, is it's entrepreneurship training program. And because it is such a tough lifestyle or business, you need support. You need continuing education and connection to other resources and a community of people, like-minded people who can support you. Because sometimes when you say, oh, I'm going to take this creative thing that I love to do and turn it into a business, your family is looking at you like you're crazy. Why would you do that?
How many heads do you have, Mom? Because I see three right now. Yeah.
Right. So it's really important to be connected into a community of people who can support you, who can help, you know, listen to you, take you to the next level, connect you to other resources. And it's great listening to about the Flint Art Museum, is we're partnering with Detroit Creative Corridor Center on a 9-week creative business course and curriculum. And so we think it's really important that if a creative person wants to make a living through their art, they're not always aware of the business side of things or the business acumen. We want to make sure that they are prepared and can understand how to make money.
I can cut in here because we just opened, after a 6-week closure at the FIA, we just opened some new spaces. And in addition to expanding our cafe and our museum shop, we opened an art school gallery, which is front and center at the museum. And one of the things that my boss, who's our development director, but has both a BFA and an MFA, her MFA is from Cranbrook, is that everyone says the one thing no one tells you in art school is this is how you sell your product. This is how you write a business plan. These are the things that you need to do. And one of the ideas behind putting a gallery that sold pieces by not only current faculty, but current students. So this could be a high school student. This could be a 5-year-old. If it's juried by Donovan Entrekin, who is our art school head, but it's teaching people who are creative in a variable levels. It could be mixed media, it could be multimedia, it could be just painting, it could be just ceramics, to say, this is how you present yourself, this is how you create an artist statement, this is how you choose the work.
Stuff.
Oh, that's
fantastic.
Things,
right?
Yeah.
And the money goes specifically to the artists, which is, again, a little bit like a gallery space, but it also teaches you how to set your pricing. Mm-hmm. It teaches you what to present and how to present it. It also shows you your work in a retail space with other artists. It is something, if you're only selling your own artwork, you might not know how to present.
And what the marketplace
exactly.
is like.
Exactly. What will it bear? What won't it bear? Is there room for negotiation?
That sort of sounds like, and I'm sure other colleges do this, but it sort of reminds me of what SCAD does with their little shop down on one of the moss-covered squares. They actually have a shop for their current students. And then if you look around, there are actually a few alumni who have their own shops at this point because they've got used to the market and they're actually able to set up business when they leave, which is not necessarily true for all art schools. So I think that's a really good element to include in any kind of art school, to have that.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, it's great.
We've been around artists in Detroit. When we had the cafe 2003-06, we would have an art show every month. And we had an artist as young as 3. She had her very first art show at the cafe.
Oh my gosh, that's cute.
It was really cute. We hyped it up, this great international artist, blah, blah, blah. And April 1st is when we opened it. And it happened to be a young girl named Abby Alcott, who has turned into an amazing artist. She's up in New York with her family right now. And everything she does is art related. And I honestly think taking someone that young and saying, you can do this and you can sell your art, it's important. It kept going with her. And I ran into someone at the bra shop the other day who said, I still have a piece of Abby's art in my house that we bought from you at the cafe. But we also had different artists from the city every month do a show. And it was amazing. They kept saying, are you going to take 50% commission? I was like, no. No, this is your art. Mm-hmm. Why would I do that? That's insanity. But I understand, at least at that point in time, that was the norm. And if you don't know that, if you don't know how to price your stuff because galleries are going to take a percentage because they have to run their overhead too, you know, it can be an awkward conversation. So enlightening the students young, I think, is important. And then teaching them how to build a business is great. We get people in the store or wherever always asking, can you come and mentor me? Can you come? Yeah, sure. Just ask me the questions, but don't ask me to tell you all my, you know,
well,
everything.
Well, send them our way, Lee.
I will. I need some flyers and things in the store. Yeah.
We are registering for our fall classes right now. We our basics classes, and then we have co-starters, which is the ideation canvas. And then we do Open City, and we just brought on Detroit Soup as a program. So we're going to be managing Detroit Soup.
Oh, so you've taken from Amy?
Yes. So
we need Amy on.
We need Amy. Yes. Okay. I'll reach out.
Amy is taking Soup International, and we're going to be managing the domestic side of things. So the Detroit.
The domestic side of things.
Domestic soup.
Yes. We're growing too. So we want to take it. If you're out there listening and you want to bring a Detroit Soup to your town, we would love to discuss what that could look like. But
yeah, we've got to get her on because we do have people who listen in different parts of the country. And just because I knew them. Not because we're such a great podcast yet, but we're getting there. So, yeah, it would be neat to talk about soup because it's social justice.
Yeah, it's and for us, it fits in with our programming because it's more than just small business mm-hmm. or entrepreneurship. It really is about talent activation. So, as you said, empowering people who have ideas to take those ideas to the next level and giving them the confidence and the tools and the resources to be able to take those next steps.
So you've been around since
1973.
Oh, there you go.
44 long years.
Mm. Yeah, 73 was a good year. My husband's from that. He's younger than I am. But yeah. So Build has been around since 2012.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Cool. Talk to me about some of your graduates.
Oh, so many lovely graduates. So Detroit Vegan Soul. They
oh,
were
wow,
in our
okay.
very
yeah.
first cohort.
Their
great.
Food is
yep.
so
they're opening
good.
Up their second or just opened up their second location in Rosedale Park. Mm-hmm. And they just won $10,000 at the Detroit Homecoming,
yeah,
which is
that.
Cool.
That was fantastic.
Detroit is the new black, which is a cool
great.
Brand.
Okay.
They have a store in the Central Business District of Woodward.
Mm-hmm.
We have, oh, Sister Pie. Maybe you've heard of Sister Pie.
Only a couple of times. She's a Hatch alumni
bit,
with me.
Bit,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
She's a Hatch winner, though. I'm a Hatch loser.
We have Paramita Sound, which is a record store. We have the D Jewelry Collection. We have
West Village type.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
More things are happening at West Village, too.
They
yeah.
Are.
It's great.
So many different neighborhoods. Mama Coos Boutique, Farmer's Hand, Metaphysica Massage. I could go on and on.
I mean,
on
you've
and on.
Really had some fantastic people.
We've
come
graduated
out of that
1,200
program.
People from our program
yeah.
since 2012, and we feel like we're just getting started.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of great things in the pipeline. We're doing some work with the city of Ferndale. We're looking at moving our headquarters into the old Tiger Stadium space at Michigan and Trumbull.
Oh, wow.
So providing a world-class kind of innovation hub
right,
for our
right.
community, having some pop-up space and dedicated office space.
Mm-hmm. Pop-up space, I could talk to you about that.
Yes.
Great.
Yeah. Well, remember when we pop-up. When we had that space on Woodward Avenue with Kurt and...
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
That was Spielhaus Toys.
Yes.
Spielhaus Toys. That was fun. He did good
he
work
He did such
there.
A great job.
He really did.
We miss him.
We do miss him. So shout out to Kurt and Nicole
if you're
Chicago.
Listening. We know you are.
Yeah, they're good people. They'll come back at some point. They will come back. We will make them.
Mm-hmm.
But he's doing well. So tell me where people can get into your program.
Yes, please like us on Facebook. That's where you're going to get the most real-time information. So Build Institute. And then our website, buildinstitute.org.
Buildinstitute.org. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. And for the... Flint Institute of Art. Is there?
You can get so much information, so many ways. You can visit the website, of course, which is flintarts.org, like pretty much every other museum in the world that is a nonprofit. If you need direct information, 810-234-1697. And if you want to follow us on Facebook, there is not only an FIA art school, there is FIA proper, and we have an education department too. I know there's just so many facets to the FIA. And we have a large homeschool program, and you can also follow FIA Ooh. Education on Facebook.
There's a homeschool?
Yes. Tell us about the homeschool program.
So we have.
But I also want to get into the really dirty stuff. Soon,
we will get to the really dirty stuff.
I know. That's a nice segue from homeschooling.
Hit that hard, but then we got to get to the BDSM and alphabet soup.
Absolutely. as most anyone who has ever been in the United States from about the mid 1980s to the present day, we know that arts funding is being cut. Substantially.
Mm-hmm. Massive. Yeah.
So two of the most interesting aspects of the FIA and its related programs and institutions, the art school can provide, we have scholarships for people of all ages. So usually when people hear scholarship, they think, oh, I'm starting out as an artist, or perhaps people that are elderly and or seniors now who have the time. But it is an endowed scholarship from Claire White, who was the daughter of C.S. Mott.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And our studio space is named after Claire. And she was also a user of the space. She was a ceramicist and a potter. And upon her sad demise, she thought so much of the art school, she endowed a scholarship. And
that's so awesome.
What is, I think, particularly awesome is that you needn't be a Flint or Genesee County resident. You can be of any age, as I've said. And it's really sliding scale. If you say, I have no money, we might say to you, well, go out and find some bottles and cans, come back with what you have after that. Mm-hmm. We will make it available to you. We will make that class available to you. Because again, a central tenet of the FIA was that everyone be able to experience art, everyone be able to participate in art making if they so desire. And the homeschool program, which is our, and I have no children, I have to tell everyone that. I think
you want one of mine.
I could, if they want to borrow. Occasionally they ask you to have a child, and I don't have one, so that's good to know that there are some available for me.
So I have a timeshare.
That's awesome. So what the homeschool program does is it integrates, depending again on the level of the student and where those classes would be, it integrates art and other things like STEAM and STEM. It also integrates basic literacy. And we're also ahead of the curve with those affected of any age, but specifically people that are incredibly vulnerable, children under the age of three, about getting ahead of the lead crisis and what the impact of that might be.
Right.
Right. That is a huge thing. It's amazing to see how much art has been cut out of our public schools. We, you know, there are lots of reasons why we moved back to the city of Detroit. Just loving it, wanting to open the bra shop in a place that didn't have something for women, but also knowing that we could live in the city and that there were art programs for our son, who was starting at a very young age mm-hmm. to show some art aptitude. So he got into the Cranbrook school system. So I drive him from the city up to Cranbrook every day. Then on Wednesdays, I come here and do a podcast. And it takes me about that long to get here. but you know, it's a real motivating factor for him. And I'm always like, if you want to go to a different school, the art's not going to be like what you're used to. And he's like, no, I'm going to fight to stay here for as long as I can. So thank you very much. Loves the art program.
That's a spectacular institution. And one of the things that I sometimes, and people, again, it's, I always say that I'm lucky to be in Flint because it has the same vibe that Detroit of 10 or 15 years ago.
Right.
There's so much energy. There's so much vibrancy. And there's so many people who want to make the city work and work on the city's terms and not on a gentrifying mindset. So one of the things I often compare the area in which the museum sits to is Cranbrook's notion of a holistic arts-based education.
Yeah.
Because the Motts were so, again, much like the Booth family, very forward-thinking. Their estate, Applewood, sits next to the College Cultural Center, which includes not only the Flint Institute of Arts, but the Flint Public Library, the Planetarium, the Youth Theater, our performing arts venue, the Whiting, our science and history museum, the Sloan, and the School of Performing Arts and
wow.
the Flint Institute of Music.
That's right. A lot.
I was going to
I'm
say
moving
it's,
to Flint.
It's
I am yeah, kidding.
Exactly.
No.
Which everyone says, what? When I, and so one of the things that our curator, Tracy Glab, who actually lives in Oak Park and drives every day to Flint, she says one of the things we hear quite frequently is it's a hidden gem, either the Cultural Center or the FIA. And she always says, we don't need to hide it anymore.
No, you don't need to hide it. Really we have not. To yell it from the rooftops. If we don't yell what we have in Michigan, no one's going to hear us, right? We got to get out there and talk about it. So now we've done a lot of warm fuzzies. We've talked about how we help entrepreneurs, how we help our – that's great. Now let's talk about the other warm fuzzies. What is this film that you were working on?
So Rob St. Mary, who works for the Detroit-based organization Patronicity, but was also a longtime WDET reporter.
Yep. Hello, Rob.
And is currently doing some work with immigrant communities on WDET. He and I have known one another since we were kids. And
are you from Clinton Township?
Originally? I am not from Clinton Township.
Oh, okay, because
Rob, no,
because I know Rob.
And Rob doesn't enjoy being from Clinton Township. I am not from Clinton Township, but we have known each other.
Edit that out.
No. There's nothing wrong with Clinton Township.
There's nothing wrong with Clinton Township.
So we met through our shared love of film, and we began working on what we had hoped. Rob had made a number of short films and had recently completed a documentary about a woman who owned a witch museum. And Ooh. We had started a documentary about BDSM in the Midwest.
BDSM specifically in the Midwest.
In the Midwest.
Okay.
Okay. For somebody who doesn't know what that means.
Oh, well, it can mean lots of things, but it is about...
Don't look at me like that.
But you're a punk rocker girl.
So it can be... Basically, it's about power exchange in either romantic and or sexual relationships. Usually these are intimate relationships, so we tend to see these. But they could be for-profit or pay relationships. They could be your own emotional and intimate relationships. Mm-hmm. And B&D usually can stand for things like bondage or domination. It can S&M is usually sadomasochism. And again, it's just about people's power exchange. It needn't be sexual. So it needn't be a sexual relationship or a traditional romantic relationship. It needn't be...
We're all quiet and staring now.
Yeah. And tell us more.
And it isn't even always physical violence either. It can be... mental or, you know, emotional in some ways, but it always has to be consensual.
It has to be consensual. There's an acronym, safe, sane, and consensual. RAC is risk aware consensual kink. So this was looking at
That's fantastic.
We had met.
I know
that Rob had met through his, Rob had met during, weirdly, not during the witch museum documentary, but on a water related rights documentary.
Interesting.
And one of the people who was advocating for more transparency in a situation that was happening in West Michigan was a couple who were living a 24/7 B&D relationship.
Okay.
And I have to, even now, I don't remember how that became part of this. Hey, we're trying to.
It's like, what does she have on? And you have on a little symbol, my rosary pen that I wear.
I so wish Rob was here because I just, the part I remember is it was related to this political.
And when you say 24/7, what does that mean?
So they were in we'll just dispense with nomenclature and we'll just use what someone would understand a master and slave relationship, where in this relationship, the man was the dominant presence and the woman was the submissive presence. But it is widely held in the culture that really what one would believe is the more submissive or passive partner is truly the person who has the most control in the relationship.
Right, because that, to use an analogy, the master or the dom or whatever is sort of the straight man or straight woman to the submissive, wanting to, you know, be allowing the submissive to play that role. And they need a sort of straight player to do that. So they actually guide a lot of what happens.
Right. So it's, as Nick very rightly pointed out, this is about consent. This is about understanding. You talk about limitations and you talk about things being hard or soft.
So there's a film about
We have
or
a
you're
lot.
In the middle
we
of
have
making
a
it.
Lot of footage. So we were shooting interviews, and we were also shooting scenes of people in active, not inherently sexual, but a lot of the people within this group that we were filming, because we were going to expand out, and they turned out to be so incredibly exciting. We said, well, we're going to narrow the focus, because one of the things that the couple had done was develop one of the first 501c3s that was kind of about providing information to people.
I'm fascinated.
I'm just going to hang out in this very small town. And they had this thing called Whipstock on their property. It's a very, again, I think being from the Midwest, everyone here, not you, Nick, but now you've obviously immersed yourself in Midwestern culture. Yes. You know that there's just kind of, I like to think about Ann Arbor is really, it's got a liberal veil over, but in some ways it's a very conservative town. And then in some ways there are things about the Midwest that appear very conservative that are quite, if not necessarily open-minded, certainly you do your thing and I'll do mine.
Right.
I grew up in Mobile, Alabama. That's where I went to high school, middle school, high school. Very conservative on the water, right? But the punk rock scene there was awesome. The heavy metal scene there was fantastic. There was more creativity going on than people really got into. But it was, there was such repression there that coming up here and finding a place where you could just be yourself, be out there, create what you wanted. There was no, the shock and awe value here is different, if that makes sense. So I get what you're saying about Ann Arbor reminds me a little bit of that, except with more patchouli.
So this couple you could call like a 1-800 number and say, well, I'm having this situation in my relationship. They actually
starting to actually sweat a little bit talking.
So one of the things was someone had said that essentially they had gotten into what sounded like more of a casual dating relationship, but they had never said to the person, these are my limits. So people, a lot of times and that's one of the problems that you see in popular culture, depictions of the lifestyle, mm-hmm. is that it's very cut and dry. It almost is always, when you see it, it's almost always in a crime, like a television show related to crime.
Yeah, like CSI or something like that.
And,
yeah.
And CSI tried to kind of broaden out a character that they had that was a dominatrix. And she starts a relationship with one of the central characters that falls apart in her arc that lasted, I think, like four shows across a couple of years. But what people know, and that's actually how the relationship of this couple began. They had both divorced, and I think it was in the early – I know that part. It was in the early days of chat rooms.
Oh, Lord.
They had gone into a chat room and started talking, and then had taken it to an email relationship again at the time, a very rudimentary email relationship. Mm-hmm. And at one point someone had said, are you interested in this? And the other person said, yes, I would be interested in that. And then it – evolved to a face-to-face meet, and then it evolved into a relationship and then a marriage.
Well, so the film is being made. Do you guys see a timeline of completion? Do you have the short films available? If somebody is interested in finding out more about this lifestyle, what do they do?
Still have what I would say is that if you're in the Detroit area, the internet has been,
curse and a blessing.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So you can easily find meetups that are related to lifestyle choices. There used to be, I don't know, are they still there? Nick, you might know, this great leather couple. They were a gay couple that owned something called Leatherosity at the Dixieland flea market, things. Yeah. Are they still there?
I haven't been to Dixieland for a good long while. Yeah, no, I vaguely know who you're talking about, but I don't know whether they're still around.
If they're still around, they had this dream. They had a dream of starting an entire, like buying an old plaza in Detroit. Talk about entrepreneurship. And that there was going to be...
Build Institute.
This is, right. I know, there's so much space too. So their dream was that they would have their retail space, but they would also teach classes. And then they would have like a leather bar and it would all be in an old kind of.
That's kind of a great idea. That's actually a really good idea. I was looking for investors.
And they were the nicest couple.
But I wonder how big the market is. Do you have any idea?
Is there a NAICS code for that?
That's a fantastic question.
But one of the things that I thought was really interesting, actually, Corey Hall did a story probably now like 10 years ago. He was looking for Valentine's Day stories for the Metro Times. Funny. And I said, why don't you talk to this really nice couple? Go out to the flea market, enjoy it because it's a flea market. There'll always be something to see. And he did a piece on them. And one of the things that, again, I'm sure you can speak to this so well. It's almost as if businesses like that exist on a very surface level. Mm-hmm. And then this very, because Nick brought up the Renaissance Festival and the underlying themes.
Yeah, I was gonna mention that here. There was an article recently on Vice or Vulture. I can't remember which. It's one of those very similar websites, similar thing. But it shocked a few people who go to the Ren Faire to discover that there's a undertone of BDSM. That a lot of people who are into BDSM go to the Ren Faire.
I don't see how that's actually a surprise.
Me neither. It's like people walk around with corsets as day wear.
Yeah, and there's so it's many. Like, if people are acting these different roles, and there's, you know,
there's leather aplenty.
The people in stocks, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah,
That's a shocker, really.
But no, the funny thing
is. What do you mean? It's a family friendly fun.
It's family friendly. Well, you know what? The funny thing is, there were a couple of Ren Faire people who were regular, who actually were posting this article saying, "What? I've never noticed." It's like you worked at the Ren Faire.
That's insane. My kid, I can't even take Lively's 10, and he's a boy. I can't take him there anymore because he would go up to people and go, "We really need to get your boobs to my mom's store. This is not right."
Oh, let me tell you, I'm working at the Ren Faire every so often. That's an absolute... We need to put Busted as like a vendor.
Absolutely, because we could make those costumes so much more comfortable and treat your breasts well.
But going back to your whole idea, you know, if you think about a business like Noir Leather.
Yeah.
You know, Keith is such an incredible... He's been... Talk about a punk rock spirit. Right. Talk about an entrepreneur that was
a pioneer,
exactly ahead of his time.
He has a Shades painting on the outside of his building,
exactly.
Lips.
So the thing with that is, if somebody comes in and they're just like, "Oh, I really want this bracelet," Keith is perfectly fine, and the people working there are perfectly fine with selling you that bracelet because you think it's fashionable.
Yeah.
And one of the things that the Leatherosity guy said was they did a big business in something that's also part of BDSM and kink culture. They sold a lot of Boy Scout and Girl Scout uniforms. But there were also collectors that, again, just wanted, or somebody was like, "Oh, I want my kid to have a vintage Boy Scout uniform because it's quaint," or, "Oh, they're going as a vintage Boy Scout or Girl Scout this year." So their two big things were this leather side and this "I'm buying vintage Scout uniforms." And he said he did a very big business with lesbian women who wanted to buy paintball people who wanted to buy camo related stuff. So it was people buying Scout uniforms for whatever reason.
I'm just imagining paintball people and leather folks getting splashed with paint.
So see there, look at all the markets that we've
hit. That's somebody's kink.
And everyone should have that. You know, when you go into my store, one of the first things that's up front that people might not see, they just kind of walk by, is we have lube, we have toys, we have naughty, we have nice. We do have things that, you know, nothing that's going to cause pain, but we do have some fun kink in the store. And I think we should get Uber Lube to be one of our sponsors.
We absolutely should. One of my favorite things on that display is the little sign that says, "This is not perfume," because the bottles look They look elegant and they look like they look like they could be, you know, little scents and stuff. But if someone comes
Uber
along
Lube?
And goes,
yeah. Is that associated with the driving?
Yeah, yeah, they'll get your pistons going nicely. It'll be great.
How are they connected?
Yeah.
Well, interesting.
The funny is three types of medical grade silicone and vitamin E, and it's called Uber Lube because there's so many uses for it.
Ooh.
It was developed in Chicago. They were making it for extreme athletes for chafing, and it provides 3 hours of slide that's
three?
Not greasy.
Hours. Okay.
Amen,
of
sister.
That sounds exhausting. Yeah, it
could be, yeah. And so the women chemists in the lab were like, hey, dumbass.
Right.
The other thing that this could be used for is sex. Hello. Mm. So, you know, it is actually one of my best sellers. Mm. So it's an easy add-on.
Well, I'll have to stop by.
Okay.
And check it out.
It's really good for your
Maybe
cuticle.
I'll Uber there.
it's all on it's uses, right?
It's really good
like
for your
Like bag bomb. You know, I'm like, oh, it's so good. But it's really for cow's really udders.
Right.
So we've got about, I don't know, 2 minutes. What, Jess? Five. In Five. Podcast Detroit, you guys are so awesome to let us do this. And Jessica, thank you for being the lady behind all that equipment and buttons. You push
My
buttons.
My pleasure. It is always interesting to hear your guests come in. You have not had a boring show yet. I don't anticipate that you ever will.
Well, you know, I can tell you that the idea for doing this was mine in going to Nick to say, help me connect with people that can talk about these things.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, we make a good team kind of co-hosting this thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
yeah.
Absolutely.
And if you guys know anyone that you think would be a good fit for the show, send them our way. Put them on the Facebook page, Bras, Bitches, and Balls with my cute little logo. Does anybody see my logo? Do you
I
like
did,
that? Thank you.
I looked it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you looked it up?
Yeah. I did.
Did you like the Facebook page?
I like it. Yes.
Good. Okay. And send us pictures of, well, you can send us pictures of anything you want. Fine with me.
Uh-oh. BDSM.
Yeah, exactly.
Honestly, I think.
Little education goes a long way.
Yeah.
You know,
I can't remember. I can't remember if it happened in the first episode, but two episodes in a row, BDSM has just come up.
Interesting.
So.
Well.
Yeah.
And that's why my mom doesn't listen to the show. But maybe she should. So, cool. Awesome. Remind me again, April, what is the website that people can go to at Build?
Yeah. So, if you have an idea and you are not sure where to get started and you just need a little help, you can visit us at www.buildinstitute.org. Sign up for a class or come to our monthly networking events called Open City. They are held at Cliff Bell's on the third Monday of the month.
Cliff Bell's, another graduate. From the Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Business.
And an old friend and Detroiter. And also come to Detroit Soup. Our first event will happen in October. So that's a great way to get connected to movers and shakers and ideators. I believe, oh my gosh, I don't know. Okay. I don't know. That's why you have to check the website. It's on there.
Beautiful.
And like us on Facebook as well.
Awesome. One more question for you. I also saw that you are affiliated with Pony Ride.
Yeah, so I'm
And that
on...
is not BDSM.
No, not yet.
Well, it depends on situation. Okay.
Yeah, I'm on an advisory board to just give advice and help some of the emerging entrepreneurs there and small businesses. And we do a lot of cross-promotional events and work together. They do a craft fair and market, open office hours for... We also run Kiva Detroit, which is a micro lending program. So if you have an idea and you just
awesome.
Need some money.
I need Kiva to come and talk to Rotary. Because at Rotary, we do have micro loans. And if we can find where people can combine other loans mm-hmm. to
layered,
create.
Yeah. Most small businesses have to have layered financing to get started. It's
Absolutely.
Not just a one and done. So, would Kiva.
Yeah, it's. People ask me a lot, how did you get started? Because I was in the Hatch contest and I did not win. But I was just like, this is a bunch of bullshit. I've got to get open.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where the money is going to come from and I don't care. And I pieced together $15,000, a friend, a mom of mine, and a husband. And we all said, okay, we can scratch this together. No one's buying groceries for a while. And I got a little office and I created something with boxes to make a place to put product. And I convinced some vendors to sell me stuff. Because half the time, just getting the vendors to give you the wholesale stuff that you can sell is hard, right? So I don't recommend that for people. But at the time, you weren't open.
Right.
It wasn't, that wasn't available to me. And that was so fast. It was like, this, I got to do it.
We bootstrapped ourselves, incubated inside of another organization and grew slowly. Yeah. And I think, you know, if you can do it another way, fine. But I think there's something so beautiful and you learn so much when you grow in a slow, sustainable way.
But it would save a lot of stress.
True.
It would save a lot of stress. It would help the families. It really supporting each other, supporting Detroiters. I want to thank you guys so much for coming. I want to thank the Vomit Spots for letting me continually use their music. I want to thank Podcast Detroit for letting us come in and use the studios and not thinking that we were a bunch of complete assholes. Thank you for your open, honest conversation about BDSM. I certainly appreciate it. But also the Flint Institute of Art. It sounds amazing and beautiful. And yes, I want to come and see the glass getting blown. And I want to bring some kids up there to show them some of the beautiful things that are happening there.
We would very much welcome it. I would also like to say that Saturdays are always free. It is not like the DIA, which is a wonderful institution, but you don't have to be a Genesee County resident. You can be a resident of the planet Earth, and anyone can come in. We are open on Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. That does not include the art school, but there are classes that are going on that you could drop in and at least observe. And we have tons of free lectures, tons of free family-friendly activities that probably don't involve BDSM, but anything really can.
And now I'm like, does Flint have a bra shop? I should really look at
it. You should probably. It does not have. We have a really sweet optical shop called Flint Optics. But no bra shop downtown and lots of open space.
Yeah.
So it's a great, great time. It's not that far from downtown Detroit. It's not that far from the suburbs. It's a great, amazing, especially now, a beautiful Saturday ride with the changing colors.
Oh, so yeah. We could go up for the colors and go see something.
Come on
cool.
up and see us. We'd love to see folks.
Thank you for taking the time to come down and talk to us about all these wonderful things. And thank you for the Build Institute and talking about your old rock and roll days. That's fantastic. All right, Nick.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks for everyone for listening. Thanks to Shane Cobbetts and to April Boyle. And
we'll have the Vomit Spots take us out.
Yes.